All glory and honor unto thee, our Lord, our God. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness in our life today. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our life today. Bless us, Lord, to be grateful to you for what you have done on Calvary, for what you are doing in our life right now as we speak. Thank you, Lord, for watching over all of us. Lord, we are here, O Lord, to listen to your voice. Speak to us, O Father in heaven. Touch us, Lord. Comfort us, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. We need your touch, Lord. All of us, without your beautiful, divine touch of healing, touch of encouragement, touch of joy, Lord, our life will be destroyed, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for preserving us. Thank you, Lord, for shielding us. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us to understand that we have you, the exceedingly great reward in our life. And we have your name, the most powerful name of all. Thank you, Lord. We are blessed. We are strong in your word. We are content in your word. We are humbled by your love. We are humiliated by your love, O Lord. Your grace and mercy is the reason we are all standing here. Teach us, Lord, to continue to press on, to climb higher and higher, to meet you up in the air, O Lord. In Jesus' name, we surrender our sermon, our thoughts, our understanding, and most importantly, Lord, what we do after receiving the words of life is the fruit of our life. May you bless all of us, Lord, to focus on how we can live the word in our life today. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen and amen. Shalom, my dear brethren. Praise the Lord. God bless you all. Greetings to you all, dear overseas brethren. I feel very different to call them as overseas, just because they are physically separated. There is no such thing called overseas brethren. Amen. Church of the firstborn, family of God, brethren in Christ. Amen. We thank the Lord for all the children of God in our life, no matter wherever they are. Sister Greta in Norway, Brother Bayo in Japan, and lot of brethren from different countries, Sister Chia. We bless the name of the Lord for bringing all of us against all the odds, against all the barriers, obstacles. The Lord showed us nothing can separate God's children. And that assurance is also what the Lord told us. Cheer up, I have overcome the world, I will come and take you home. If the distance cannot do anything to feel the love of God's children, then the trials, the pain, the troubles, the tribulations, the persecution, the sickness cannot do anything to feel the love of God. The joy of the Lord, the love of God, and the Lord, the way He is feeding us in His word, by blessing us to drink His Spirit, so that when the bread of life is digested, when the water of life is flowing through your veins, when the new covenant, the new blood is running your life, only then you can experience the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ is a result of eating the bread of life, digesting it to the body of Christ, and drinking the new covenant, the water of life, and the blood that washed all of us from our iniquities. When it all happens in this water pot of stone, then you are not the water pot of stone anymore, but rather you have become the tree of righteousness. The stone that is filled with life, lively stone, spiritually built upon the chief cornerstone as the spiritual priesthood, royal, holy nation. Amen. We thank the Lord. Let us never forget what we have deep inside because of what we lose just outside. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. We thank the Lord for encouraging us. Today, we are going to start studying about the main name, the character, the servant of God, by whom we are going to learn how the work of the Lord happened around him, in him, and beyond the generations concerning the word priesthood. The name Aaron, we should never forget why the name appeared in the scripture. I'm not going to study the word of the Lord in a sequence. I will be juggling here and there as the Lord leads. Follow the word of the Lord. We will not start from Exodus 17, go all the way to 39, but rather we will go to Ezekiel, go to New Testament, come back to Exodus, as the Lord leads, because he is the same. Aaron was called when Moses told the Lord, I can't do this alone. Hear me very carefully. The inability of a man, insufficiency of a man, invited Aaron, who was far away from some other wilderness, by who? By God, to bring them together as one, to eliminate that insufficiency, to eliminate that unfaithfulness, to eliminate that lack of confidence, to eliminate that rejection. And the Lord changed everything into obedience, acceptance, faithfulness. Aaron fulfilled the journey of Israel by joining his hands with Moses. The invitation for Aaron, imagine God is standing in between Moses and Aaron. God is speaking to Moses, establishing the first conversation, and Moses, he is not a cleaned, anointed, washed vessel yet. So he was keep on telling the Lord, I can't do this. I'm telling you again and again, I can't do this. I'm not the man whom you're looking for. I'm not built to do what you asked me. And the Lord knows, I created you. I formed you. I made you. I called you. I'm going to redeem you. And you're telling me you are not built for this. Who told you that? But he didn't ask all of the questions. Why? Last Sunday, our entire focus was on one particular thing, which is response from the vessel to the Creator. And that response, we have seen four different categories, which is also applicable in all our life. I know not, my Lord. Thou hast now, you know, my Lord. I know, my Lord. What you know about your flesh. You know about your weaknesses. You know about your denial that you need to do. The Lord has given us the wisdom and knowledge to self-examine ourselves. Or else we can't deny ourselves. Whatever the tools that we need to deny ourselves, the Lord has given us. And what is that? You are created in His image and in His likeness. Case closed. So now, these three differences of I know, I don't know, you know, my Lord. And the last one is, when the Lord asks the vessel, can these dry bones live? The vessel did not say yes. The vessel did not say no. What the vessel said, thou knowest, my Lord. Do you understand why the Lord called all of us, love your enemies? You never know. Can these dry bones live? Can this brother be saved? Can this sister be saved? Can this man can become an apostle? Can this woman can become a servant of God? The Lord can ask us thousands of questions. But what we do? Thou knowest, my Lord. We believe life. We believe peace. We believe in light. And our feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. So whatever we respond to the Lord, we have to be very, very careful and wise that we speak life to Him. Because vengeance belongs to Him. Judgment belongs to Him. Everything that is not life, He knows how to take care of it. The only way we can identify ourselves is, Lord, I am in the side of the light. Lord, I am on the side of the life. Lord, I am standing on the roof of peace. That's exactly what the Lord wants from His vessel. Amen? So, when your life throws questions at you, deeply meditate which answer I should speak to the Lord. Meditate. Counsel with what the Lord has given you. Then tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going through all of this. I could not put together. The more I think about it, I break. The more I think about it, I hurt myself. The more I think about it, it's not helping me. I don't know my Lord. Lord, I have done this mistake. I know exactly why I did that. Because of me, my loved one is hurt. Lord, I know, Lord, man cannot direct his path. Lord, I know, Lord, I was wrong. Lord, I know, Lord, what I should do. Lord, I know, Lord, I should repent. Lord, I know I should make amendment. You should know. We don't have to wait to do good things. If one knows what to do good. If you don't do, it is sin. So in this category, you cannot say, Lord, I don't know, Lord. Let thy will be done, Lord. We can't say that. The Lord knows, you know exactly what you should do. What's the third one? Thou knowest, Lord. You know, Lord. The truth is, the word you know, Lord, it is applicable to everything. The Spirit examineth all things. There is nothing can escape from His sight. He knows all things. He knows all things. So we say, Lord, if the Lord is challenging you, sometime He will challenge you to see whether you are able to bear your cross, to see whether you are able to fly above the head, to see whether you are able to hold the post, not leaving the post, what the Lord has given us. What is the post? To rejoice with Him, to sing unto Him, to speak about Him, to witness Him, to do whatever we could do with the willingness, correct? The cheerful heart. So when the Lord is testing us, if you don't know the answer, if you can't even put your mind together, simply put everything upon Him. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. What does it mean? You can't lift by yourself. You can't take it off. You can't do. You can't understand. You can't reason yourself. And we say, Lord, I rest in Thy feet. Thou knowest my Lord. I will wait patiently, Lord. So these three different submissions, different responses, we learn from Jeremiah, Zechariah, and all the prophets of God. Amen? Because when the Spirit of God bear witness with His prophet, do you really think, have you ever seen the scripture, when the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel in a prophetical vision, when the Lord is speaking to John the Apostle in a prophetical vision, have you seen any word? The vessel kindled the anger of the Lord. Have you seen anywhere? Because when the Lord filled the vessel to reveal the vision, the Lord knows the vessel is ready to receive. If not, He won't waste His time. Correct? God would never ever waste His time. He would never do the same thing again. He would wash us thoroughly. But everything that He do, there is a perfection. Let's say I have 10 different fleshful attributes in me. 10 different. When the Lord cut one flesh, I am perfect in that circumcision. Amen? But now I still have some more to do. So what you would say, I'm not perfect, I still have 9 more. But we forget the way the Almighty works, the all-sufficiency in the scripture. God would never leave anything unendered. He won't leave anything off-cooked. He'd come and do the work beautifully. If not, we would be keep on loathing ourselves that I still need the Lord's healing, I still need the Lord's touch. The Lord would say, I have touched you already. Believe. Just run. Just fly. Let's understand how the Lord works. That is why, know ye not was the title last Sunday. The truth is, most of the times, we don't know what the Lord is doing in our life. He's being gracious and merciful to wait until you come to know. Know ye not. Apostle Paul says, know ye not. You are the temple of God. God is in you. Why are you so weary? Why are you so lack of confidence? Know ye not, the Lord is washing you, making you, molding you, strengthening you, edifying you, encouraging you, preparing you for the marriage? Know ye not? So, if we get up in the morning, if we do not have the joy, wow, today I'm going to be pruned, I'm going to be washed, I'm going to be prepared, because I'm still a bride, I'm still breathing in this flesh, so the Lord is working in me. If that joy is not there when we get up in the morning, we all need the garment of praises, as we read in the book of Isaiah. Spirit of weariness will pull us down. Garment of praises can destroy the spirit of weariness. But do not misunderstand scripture. Whenever scripture says the spirit of falsehood, this and that, but there is only one spirit, amen? And that spirit is life. And that is God is spirit. God is good. God is life. But when the scripture presents to us spirits of this and that, it is for us to understand the life that we live today is not a true life. Correct? We were born to die with an expiry date. So we were nothing but something that was born to die. In other words, death was born and lived this many years and died. We were not born to live forever until we receive the true life. You see, this light is giving light. Correct? This light is not the same light that we get from the sun, which is beautifully created, magnificently thought by the Lord Himself. But both may look same. May look same, correct? But there is no life in this. It was made by man. Same the life that we are breathing in our body. Until we receive Christ, until we receive His name, this life is death. When the true life comes to our life, we are alive in Christ. The same way, when the Lord called all of us, washed all of us, told us to serve Him, there is life and there is true life. There are a lot of wickedness, lot of voices, lot of whispering, evil forces, flesh, desires of this world. There are so many things. They are also in the same clothing as, I am also a spiritual revelation to you. I can speak peace to you. Oh, King Saul, do not kill this king. The Lord called you to be filled with peace. Don't you lay your hand on this king. What's King Saul who said? Yes, the Lord is full of love. I should not touch this king. Then Prophet Samuel came. Step aside. He did what the king was supposed to do. So, if we are not careful, our flesh can deceive us by giving a sugar-coated encouragement, sweetened bread, to make us feel it's all about the Lord's love and mercy. It is very true. That is exactly why we are alive. But when the Lord called all of us to be filled with the Spirit to the point that our flesh, our spirit, our life as a being does not wrestle with Him. You understand? All those prophets, when they received the vision, did they wrestle with God? Did they interrupt the Lord speaking? Did they interrupt how the Lord wanted to present that vision? But there were interruptions when the Lord was speaking to them plainly on the earth. They were saying, no, Abraham said, no, Lord. Sarah said, she was laughing. The Lord said, I will give you promised land. Sarah said, oh, in this age, in my dreams. She was laughing. But all those things, all those unfaithfulness, back and forth communication, inefficient communication was not there when the prophetical vision dreams are presented to His vessels. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord suppressed everything of the creation, and it is Christ in me, and there is nothing left. That is the perfection that we are all walking. Amen? That we are all climbing forward, pressing to reach that higher ground. So, in this journey, we are not perfect in our thoughts, in our words, in our action. But the word of the Lord is keep on pruning this garden, this tree, as we walk humbly. And there will be a day when we reach that day when the Lord presents us the glorious body, the crown of glory, when we experience the beautiful transfiguration of what the Lord promised us, only then you would experience the life of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, that we belong to Him in the fullest form, the perfection, conforming to His image. Amen? So, holy chamber, separation, change of raiment, know ye not, holy flock. The key words that the Lord blessed us to meditate all these weeks. Now we will start from here, because before we talk about clothes of service, I really wanted and desire that all of us should understand where we stand. Know ye not. After writing 32 chapters, the Lord told Prophet Jeremiah, I will show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah would be thinking, thank you, Lord. 30 more chapters incoming. The Lord says, thou knowest not. When I was reading that, I really took some time to take that word, to be a permanent scar in my heart. thou knowest not. Until the Spirit comes and do things through you, speak things through you, thou knowest not. I can only deny myself. Can I deny Brother Joshua on behalf of himself? The Lord would say, what are you doing? You are not the creator. Share the burden. Let every man carry his cross. Amen? So now, today, we are going to start to understand what Moses did to Aaron and his sons, and why he did that on like a overview before we go into the details. Amen? Let's turn our scriptures to Book of Exodus, chapter 27. Book of Exodus, chapter 27. Thank you, Brother Rinpoche. I shall read from verse 19. We will go into those verses later on. But what I am going to do now is for all of us to take a journey from chapter 28, all the way to chapter 31. The very important verses where the Lord spoke very specifically concerning the word, the clothes of service. Amen? So let's read from verse 19. All the vessels of the tabernacle in all the service thereof. I repeat, all the vessels in the tabernacle, in all the service thereof, and all the pins thereof, and all the pins of the coat shall be of brass. Gold, silver, brass, purple, blue, linen cloth, veil, altar. The Lord was giving extremely specific instructions to Moses. This is exactly how I want. Make sure you do it accordingly. But I want to start from verse 19. So that we keep our focus on the word, the clothes of service. Why the Lord spoke those words. Verse 20. God is speaking to Moses. Amen. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Whenever you see the word, the lamp must burn always, we should remember what happened to Prophet Eli and Prophet Samuel. Amen? The Lord did not take it lightly when the lamp was put off in the temple. But the oil for the lamp was not brought by the priest or the prophet, but rather, God told Moses, command the children of Israel to bring the pure oil, not something polluted, pure oil, cheerful heart, willingness. Anything that replaces willingness, cheerful heart is not pure oil. You will go there. The Lord is very specific about it. And he said, the lamp to burn always, verse 21, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning. What? From evening to morning. Throughout the night. Correct? Through the night. Before the Lord, it shall be a statute forever unto their generations. The last few words are key. It shall be a statute forever unto the generation. If I stop here, you would still say amen. But look at the last three words. On behalf of the children of Israel. Verse 19 and verse 20, verse 21, what are the focus of children of Israel? Number one, the Lord told Moses to command children of Israel, bring the pure oil, olive oil, beaten for the light. Beaten, specifically prepared for the light, not for anything else. Not for your facial, not for your hair, not for your body, no. Specifically built for the, beaten for the lamp. Amen? The light. That was the requirement from the children of Israel. Then the focus is moving to Aaron and his sons. And they will present it before the Lord from evening to morning throughout the night. The light must burn always. And again comes back to say that on behalf of the children of Israel. Now do you see how the children of Israel escaped from God. You may be thinking, oh, the Lord blessed them to escape from enemies. True, but the very first master, king, that they should escape from is him. So God is a consuming fire, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. In order for his children to escape from him, for the Lord not to get angry to consume them, the Lord prepared everything to shield them, to surround them, to hide them, to cover them by his priest. Amen? All the prophets, all the patriarchs, all the kings. Do you see the common pattern? For the sake of Abraham, for the sake of David, for the sake of my promises, I will establish prophets in thy time for them to speak the words of life. And children of Israel prospered through the prophecy of Haggai. Remember? Ezra chapter 6. Prosperity through the prophecy of God. Amen? So now, the Lord says, my servant Moses, my servant Aaron, do all of this, not for me. The Lord does not need our praises. Let's understand why God wants us to offer sacrifice unto him. Is it for him to feel, oh, today time 10 o'clock. Okay, come on, my children, praise me. Worship me. Exalt me. Speak good about me. No, I'm not happy. Exalt me even more higher. Does God need our validation? The Almighty, the King of Kings, does he need our recognition, our acknowledgement? The truth is speaking the truth. The Lord says, do this on behalf of my children. There are people wandering around. They don't know me yet. There are souls still in darkness. They have not received me yet. And even all of us, we are not perfect yet. We have our own shortcomings. The Lord says, sing unto me. Rejoice. Be happy. Be confident. The Lord is not simply giving us motivation. He is not a motivational speaker. He speaks truth in love. So, whenever the Lord speaks to his prophets, his kings, his servants, when David, the way David exalts the Lord, you know those non-believers or people who don't like God or atheists, whenever they see this word, they will be even more confounded. Always these people always give him so much hype, always praise him, exalt him, saying King of Kings, everybody tremble before this and that. But the problem is there is nothing else I can speak that is truth. Correct? Can God say, my servants, you just exalt this tree. Lord, for how long? Oh yes, the tree will die in 20 years. Oh, my servant, you just sing some beautiful song about this dove. Lord, for how long? Oh, the dove will die. What should I do? Oh Lord, you are the true and faithful witness. You are the Alpha and Omega. Lord, you are the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Lord, I can't speak anything that is truth if it is not about you. We must understand why we praise the Lord, because there is no other truthful words this flesh can speak. We must understand why we pray unto him, because there is no one who can listen to our prayers. There is no one, absolutely no one, who can comfort us. So when the Lord says, do this for me, do this for me, remember his word, on behalf of the children of Israel. That is exactly why God did all of this. Apostle Paul, Lord, you are going to suffer for me. Praise the Lord. You are going to speak about me. Praise the Lord. On behalf of my Gentiles, bring them to my light. Peter, Lord, you denied me. Yes, Lord, 3 times. I was wrong. Shame on me, Lord. God bless you. All the disciples, the way they were so truthful, ruthlessly truthful to the Lord, it shows that they were not in their flesh. The Spirit was able to overcome them as a being. It's not me. It's Christ in me. So Peter said, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I will do whatever you want me to do. The Lord said, go and preach on behalf of Jews, on behalf of these people who killed me, on behalf of these people who persecute you, on behalf of. When God said, I look for a man, stand in the gap. Amen? For what? On behalf of the people behind you. So when our Lord is called the high priest, for what? He is the judge. He is the high priest. He is the advocate. You say, Lord, give us some roles. We won't fulfill. We will fail miserably. The Lord says, it's not him. When the Lord says,
I am the advocate. Don't you see? When Moses was pleading for the people of Israel, don't you see? God is the judge. Moses was pleading like an advocate, and people of Israel behind him. But was Moses' advocate? No. The Spirit of the Lord resting upon the Moses made him to become the vessel of being an advocate. But who is the advocate? The Lord Himself. Do you think Aaron can simply go and sacrifice some blood and the Lord says, "Yoo-hoo, today we have 600,000 Israel and 500,000 sins committed. I'm going to cut maybe some rams and goats. Praise the Lord." The Lord would say, "Who is the high priest?" Aaron represents what the Lord is doing in our life today, not in the Old Testament. People think Old Testament is over. No. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He dealt things in a way people can receive in different times. Whatever God did to Aaron, Moses, it is still true to this day. Spiritually, we should understand what Aaron represents. So Aaron is interceding. Remember, 40 years of journey without tabernacle, altar, congregation, the Lord Shekinah glory, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, sacrifices, blood on the mercy seat. Without all of this, do you really think not even a single soul will cross the promised land, will cross the river of Jordan? Not one. Amen? Not one. That is exactly why the Lord allowed Moses to make a small mistake, to teach the people that it is me who is the absolute. Correct? The Lord allowed David to fall. For what? To insult David? No. To teach everyone, including David, it is me, the absolute. No man can replace the authority of God. Amen? So, when this all happening, when the Lord was dealing with the people of Israel so beautifully, and the scripture says, on behalf of the children of Israel. So let's replace the word. Children of Israel, on behalf of your family, on behalf of your church, on behalf of the gathering, on behalf of the souls whom you love, on behalf of the souls whom you don't know, on behalf of the strangers, that is exactly why this ministry is still alive in Christ in this land. Amen? On behalf of something. It was never about Aaron. It was never about Moses. It was never about Joshua. If the church is the body of Christ, the body of Christ is not about the body of Christ. The body of Christ is to go and do the work of the Lord. So the Lord can say, "Oh, my dear beloved vessel, today I change my mood. I want to be an advocate. Let's go and pray and intercede. Oh, today I change my mood. I want to become a healer. Let's go and pray for healing. Oh, today I change my mind. Let's go and make something, build something." The Lord is all, but the way He execute through His children. Who said people of Israel? King David. But was it? He was the Savior? No. It's the Lord behind King David. Who led people of Israel to the promised land? Joshua. Was it Joshua alone? No, it's Yeshua, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, the Spirit of the Lord who led them through the promised land. Prophet Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Haggai, Malachi, all the prophets, the way the Lord used them to protect His children, to go through, to preserve His children, to go through. For what? There is a promise in your life. He just wants you to reach the destination. Never give up in God. Never, ever give up on God. The Lord just wants you to buy time. That is grace. He just don't want you to give up. He wants you to just travel until you reach that destination. The Lord will make a way. The Lord will give what you want. The Lord will grant what you desire. If it is according to His will. If not, He won't give it to you. Because He cannot destroy you. He will never make you to forsake Him. Amen? Now read this. With this understanding, let's read. Because Moses now is going to do what God wants him to do. But starting from whom? Verse 1. Chapter 28, verse 1. On behalf of the children of Israel should be in our heart. Verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel. Hold on. on behalf of the children of Israel, point number one. Among the children of Israel, point number two. Amen? Because they must be one single family, united in love, in unity, in truth, that they are all one family. Amen? One family of God. Can God would use a stranger to serve His church who would remain as a stranger, live and die as a stranger? Is it possible? Moses said, I am a stranger to this land, not to the people. To the people, he is every bit of his family. You know, he's part of the family. But to the land, he's a stranger. Why? His feet will start moving. He won't be here. He will be keep on moving. For all of us, this earth is nothing but a land that where we are all strangers because we do not belong to this world. He will regenerate. So now, what the Lord is speaking here among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and Aaron's sons. You should see the beauty of the Lord's warning. The Lord uttered four names, not just Aaron. Nadab, Abihu, let's say keep them on the right side. Eleazar, Ithamar, keep them on the left side. The truth is, they were the two sons left. These two were eliminated, removed, burnt to the ground by the Almighty. But the Lord uttered their names. He gave them warning. Moses, call Aaron. And the four names, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. Praise the Lord. But over time, Nadab, Abihu, they did not heed to what the Lord demanded from them. He removed them. But he did not warn Aaron. Why? When the Lord consecrate, sanctify, anoint a priest, a vessel, who has the dominion over that vessel? Aaron or God? God. Who is the first relationship in your life? God. He has purposed you in his heart. You are in his mind. Before he laid the foundation of the earth, he is your first relationship. Not your father, not your mother, not your husband, not your wife. They are all okay. They are all in him. He is the first. Everything else comes next. But if you love God, eventually, spiritually, beautifully, you will love all your loved ones in him, because they are in him. You did not create them. Just because a woman gave birth to a child, the woman cannot say, I am your creator. No. You too were children to him. The one who carried in his bosom, in his thought, in his mind. So now, he used the names, praise the Lord, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. Why the Lord is keep on stressing the fact, Moses, thy brother. Moses, thy brother. And Moses told the Lord, your children. Remember, he went to the mountain. He told the Lord, Lord, your children. And Adam said, Lord, the woman you gave me. And Lord said, okay, your brother. You called him. You called him, right? Correct? It was Moses who told the Lord, I can't do this. He opened the door for the Lord to invite Aaron. The Lord is also reminding, he came to support you. He came to arm shoulder with you. Don't you dare to forsake him. Don't you dare to go against him. But Moses was truthful to what the Lord told him. Now, whenever the Lord called all of us, he that hated his brother killed him in his heart. Do you see, he has been reminding this from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Those who are all sitting next to you, the Lord called all of us to arm shoulder with one another, right? The Lord called all of us to support one another, to edify, encourage one another, to share the burdens with one another. Aren't we the same? That we need each other. We are accountable to one another. We are responsible to one another. Because the Lord said, without you, none of you would go together. Correct? Can I say, if there is a flock, 50 sheep, and Jesus Christ is actually feeding the flock, water, whatever they want. And the 49 flock says, Lord, we are still complete without this flock, without the sheep, which is with the wool cloth. The Lord would say, who told you that? He would say, all 49, you stay here, rot with your own understanding. I will go and hunt for my one sheep. He will go. He will leave us. Do you hear me? He will leave us. and he'll go and search for that one sheep. He will never return home until he finds the sheep. That is the Lord whom we serve. So what the sheep will do? Knowest thou, my Lord? I don't know, my Lord. So now, I mentioned 2 Sundays ago, one thing that I could not see explicitly in the Old Testament is the love of Aaron for the people of Israel. Is the love of Moses for the people of Israel. It is not explicitly addressed by them to the people. But rather, you can only understand by the works of them what they did. Because fine linen clothing is called as the righteous deeds of saints in the book of Revelation. Do you think the Lord introduced a new terminology in the book of Revelation? No. It's the same from the beginning. Righteous deed of Moses, righteous deed of Aaron, righteous deed of Eleazar, righteous deed of Joshua is the garment the Lord was looking for. Not just a physical garment, but he dealt with them in a physical way so that they understand how he works. Because the comfort is not given. The revelation is not there yet. The Lord is dealing with them in a way they can eat. Why Jesus was giving parable? He could have explained most complicated things of revelation. But he was children, fig tree, fish, vineyard. So that everybody who listens, they understand. But when Apostle Paul came, he came and he was feeding meat and bones. Why? There is a time. Amen? There is a time. So when the Lord told Moses, make holy garments. Can this piece of cloth become holy? That's exactly happening in the denominations. You can see the way they pay attention to their clothing. Gold-plated, beautifully crafted, multi-million dollar jacket. People do that. For them it's holy garment. Now, righteous deed of saints on behalf of the children of Israel, among the children of Israel. These three words, my brethren, should be etched in your heart as we read the next verses. Righteous deeds of saints are nothing but the fine linen clothing of the saints. Amen? The white linen clothing. But if we go back to Exodus from book of Revelation, the Lord says, Moses, yes Lord, just make some holy garments, man, for your brother Aaron. He didn't say, for my son Aaron, for my priest Aaron, for my servant Aaron. He said, Moses, thy brother. Moses, thy brother. Aaron, thy brother. Now you see, for glory and beauty. Wow. The beauty of holiness of God. I shall embrace the beauty of holiness of God. And the Lord says, I am the Lord. I will not yield my glory to anyone. Only for Aaron. No, Aaron represents what? The priesthood. The Lord says, Moses, make some holy garments for glory and beauty. And verse 3, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted. Wise-hearted, I heard tender-hearted, light-hearted, heavy-hearted, hardened heart. And the Lord says, wise-hearted. How can a heart can be wise? I thought the mind has to be wise. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The wisdom of the Lord would not go to your mind. That is reasoning. The wisdom of God would start from your heart. Peace of God cannot be understood by the brain. Peace of God can be experienced by the heart. Heart represents what you feel in your spirit. Deeper connection. Amen. Those who are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit's wisdom. Amen. Whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him. That they may minister unto me in the priest's office. The Lord says, Moses, make holy garments. But the Lord says, don't worry. I will fill some people with my spirit of wisdom and they will make the garments for Aaron. So, do you see the same pattern? Book of Zechariah presented high priest Joshua. I spoke about two different Joshua. One, Joshua, who led the people of Israel, what happened to him as a servant of God, and one, our Joshua, Yehoshua, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the high priest, the redeemer, who was also clothed by filthy garments because of you, because of me, on Calvary. Our iniquities were laid upon him, when he died for our sins, when he resurrected, what is his name? Glorified Jesus Christ. There is no glory without Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is the glory in our life. Anointing of the Holy Ghost is your glory. You don't have to wait for a physical 24 karat gold of crown glory. The Holy Ghost, the presence of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord is your glory in your life right now. It is not going to be any different. It's just a matter of passing through. So now, God told Moses for glory and beauty. And now he says, I will fill my vessels with my spirit of wisdom, and they will make garments for Aaron. Aaron did not make the garment for himself. Aaron did not announce himself. Aaron was nothing but a vessel standing here and let the Lord have his way in his life. Moses was doing all of these things. All the servants of God doing all of the things. Aaron was just standing for his old clothing will be removed, for the new clothing will be put on him. He did nothing. High priest Joshua in the book of Zechariah, he did nothing. The angel of the Lord said, remove his filthy garments. Put on the new garments. Joshua was standing. Amen? Now, read this. Verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make. A breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, again thy brother, and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. Amen? We will go to the details later, as I want to continue to read a few more verses throughout the book of Exodus, so that we receive the understanding of clothes of service, where it is mentioned. Let's turn your scripture. Book of Exodus, chapter 28, same chapter, I will read from verse 29. Same chapter 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. What? Upon his heart. Not on the head. Not on the shoulder back. Not on his thigh. Not on his hip. The breastplate covers the heart. And the breastplate has the stone, the 12 stones, each for each tribe of Israel. Amen? And scripture says, Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel. All the names of the Israel were represented by the specific stones that is on the breastplate of Aaron. And why he's doing this? It says, of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. Let's stop it here. The Lord says, Moses, command the people of Israel to bring the pure olive oil beaten for light for the lamp, and that lamp must burn before me continually. Always. Amen. Now, moving forward, the Lord says, I want Aaron to bear the names of Israel, children of Israel, on his breastplate as a memorial. So when Aaron enters the holy place, the Lord remembers. Have you seen this pattern? The vessels always remind God, Lord, your children, Lord. Lord, you are gracious, Lord. Lord, you are merciful, Lord. Lord, your goodness, Lord. Lord, how about 10 righteous people, Lord? Can you show mercy on Sodom and Gomorrah? Remembrance is a way of purification of minds. Amen? And the Lord can never be counseled by anyone other than the vessel filled by his own spirit. Because there is only one spirit. So now, the Lord says, Aaron should bear these 12 stones, and whenever he comes into my holy place, it's a memorial for me not to consume them. Show grace and mercy. Wait. Now, verse 30 says, and thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart, not on the mind. And when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. Praise the Lord. I start from here. Chapter 27 presented the word on behalf of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. And the Lord called the priest and Aaron among the children of Israel. Amen. Separation is done. Now here Moses is making garments as the Lord told for Aaron and his sons. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. Amen. Now the Lord says the breastplate of Aaron resembles me of the names of children of Israel on his heart. Where? Not on the breastplate. Heart. When Jesus said, we are called to love our God with all our heart. Love one another with all our heart. Is your heart on the altar of sacrifice? Heart. With cheerful heart. Willingness. With joy and confidence. Amen. Now, the Lord says, the names of children of Israel on the breastplate of Aaron, correct? Now, it is mentioned as the judgment of children of Israel is upon the breastplate of Aaron. I started from here on behalf of children of Israel. Now, I'm standing here. The judgment of Israel on the breastplate of Aaron. How serious it is. So, the Lord says, Aaron, I will not judge them without going through you. Correct? Aaron, I will not judge the people of Israel as long as I see you in my holy chamber. Aaron, I will not judge the people of Israel as long as you keep my statute, my ordinances, my commands. As long as. Amen. As long as. In order for the Lord to kill those people of Israel who built the golden calf, Aaron had to do what the people forced him to do. So, and he was there to burn the gold, to make the golden calf. When Moses came, he told Aaron, move. It was not Aaron who judged the people of Israel. It was Moses through the Spirit of God. Amen? Remember that incident because it should start from here. Now, what we read here, verse 31, and thou shalt make the robe of ephod all of blue, and there shall be an hole in the top of it, in the midst thereof, it shall have a binding of a woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of an habergeon, that it be not rent. Now, verse 35, please. Verse 35. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, when he cometh out, that he die not. So, Aaron needs to go in and come out. He should not die. And the Lord is also making preparations for that. And what is the preparation? A sound. Some sound. Remember when the Lord met Saul, the scripture says Saul heard a voice. Amen? When he was going to from Jerusalem to Damascus, the scripture says he heard a voice. But those who are around him, they heard a sound, not the voice. Have you seen that? Saul heard a voice speaking to the Lord. But those who were around him, they heard a sound. Moses was on the top of the mountain. The Shekinah glory of the Lord was soaking him. And the people of Israel, when they saw it, it was like a fire. No, it was like a burning fire for them. In the sight of the children of Israel, it was like a fire. But Moses was actually basking in the glory of the Lord. So now, verse 1, chapter 31, verse 1. We will go on a sequence before we come back. Chapter 31, from verse 1 to 11. Brother Clement, please read this for us. Because the Lord told Moses, I will prepare the vessels. Amen. He told Moses, I will prepare the vessels with my spirit of wisdom. Amen. Please read from chapter 31, verse 1 to 11, my brother.
Then the Lord said to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed I, have anointed with him Aholite, the son of Ahishmach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you: the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand and all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of the ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, the garments of his son to minister as priest, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do.
Amen. According to all what the Lord commanded, and Moses had to get it done. So now, let's look at these three words: the clothes of service, glory and beauty, on behalf of the children of Israel, what needs to be done. So now chapter 31 presents the way the Lord blessed every single name who were called by him, filled by his spirit, to do the particular work that he exactly demanded. Amen? In order for a vessel to do accordingly what the Lord said, exactly did according to what the Lord said, the vessel cannot do it without the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. So now, let's read chapter 35. I will read this. Chapter 35, verse 19. Chapter 35, verse 19. The clothes of service, to do service in the holy place. So we stop here for a while. There are so many clothes of service. Amen? The very first sermon, we were learning from the children how they identify a particular man or a woman just by looking at what garment they were wearing. A nurse, a doctor, a police officer, an advocate, a judge, a builder. So the garment represents the work that they are doing, and the work identifies them, who they are. Amen? So now, in the multitude of entire people of Israel, just because of what was upon the breastplate of Aaron, there can never be another Aaron. Amen? Only one Aaron. One Moses, one Joshua. Amen? So the Lord separated Aaron just because of the breastplate and the 12 stones on his breastplate. Because the Lord says, when he enters into the holy place, it will be memorial for me that what I should do for my children. Amen? Now, the clothes of service, to do service, not to support service, not to witness a service, not to encourage the service. The scripture says to do service where? In the holy place. Holy chamber. We had a sermon on this title. Holy chamber. How the Lord separates, sanctifies, consecrates, anoints, clean, wash, encourage, purge, then bring them to the holy chamber. Why? Because if you enter into the holy chamber without the right sound coming from your garment, some other sound, we may enter, but we may not return. The scripture says, so that Aaron would not die. He can come with a specific sound that the Lord can hear. He will let him come and go out. Remember, that sound, that ornament in his garment, and whatever the beautiful sound that it makes, Aaron has to walk in the statutes of God in a way he should walk. Not to jump, not to go left or right, not to cry, not to dance. Walk in his commandments and your life will make a sound. Your living sacrifice will make a beautiful song of salvation unto him. You enter into his holy chamber. You worship the Lord. You come back safe and unharmed. What happened to Nadab Abihu? Whatever the abomination they committed, did they do it inside or outside? inside. When something goes inside, do you really think, Aaron, where are you? Lord, I'm preparing the goats and ram for sacrifice in the evening. I'm going to burn your two sons. Can I get your permission? No. Who asked who? The tabernacle, the altar, the congregation, everything is built for him. Not just that, by him. That is where people forget. Who built this church? You, me? No. The head of the church, the builder and maker, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High Priest, he built his church. He owns the church. There is only one landlord. We are all nothing but tenants inside. But he called all of us, my friends, my children, my servants. So holy chamber is not holy chamber. It's holy chamber, reverence and honor. We enter in, we come out, we did not die. And Moses said, I saw the glory of the Lord. I did not die. All the prophets said the same word. Remember? John the Baptist said, did I die? I felt I'm dead. In his glory, we will feel like we are dead. It's the feeling of the resurrection that the Lord experienced, blessed experience. Our flesh dies and you resurrect in spirit. So the Lord says, Aaron, I don't care if you're the high priest. If that sound doesn't come from your garment, you will die. You can come in, go out without dying. The Lord is not showing his power. The Lord is not about, hey, if I show my wrath, he has no such business to do with it. Who are we? Who are we? David says, Lord, I'm a man with dust, you know, on the earth. Your throne is in the heaven. Lord, who am I, Lord? Who is David for you to remember me? That is our state. Now, look at the word that we read here. In 19 it says, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office. Clothes of service is to do the service in the holy place. To do service in the holy place, not outside, not far away, in the holy place. What's the first song we sang today? Into thy holy chamber. Be free, Holy Spirit. Speak to me gently. The Lord would say, come inside. You can listen to me. Spiritually. Amen? So, close up service to do service in the holy place. Next verse. 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Every man went to the door of his tent. Every time Moses worshipped God, the Shekinah glory comes in. We can see people of Israel, they worship the Lord from the door of the tent. Joshua was the only one who departed not the tabernacle. He was inside. We will go there. So now, verse 29 in the same chapter. Let's read. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring forth all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. Praise the Lord. Every man, every woman whose heart made them to be willing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of your heart, the hands do the work of the Lord. Cheerful heart is the cheerful hands, cheerful lips, cheerful legs, cheerful mind, joyful service. Amen? The Lord can listen to the sound. Remember when Moses comes down from the mountain, this guy, spy, one of the greatest spy ever in the scripture, he tells Moses, sir, there is a noise in the camp. And Moses said, is it? But this noise, it sounds like a shout of victory, not a battle. He presents his discernment to who? To Moses. And Moses prepared himself before he go. The first person Moses met was Joshua, correct? And it's not surprising, he was also sent as a spy later with Caleb. Now, let's read this. Children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Chapter 27 verse 19 says, God told Moses, command the people of Israel to bring the pure olive oil, beaten for light, prepared for the lamp. And now we read, the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing. What we studied before? Wise-hearted. Correct? We just read that verse a few chapters before. Wise-hearted. So what is the wisdom, my brethren? When the spirit of wisdom comes from God, your heart is filled with joy, gladness. Lord, I'm doing this for you with all my heart. No complaints, no compulsion. Lord, I'm so happy. What else I can do, Lord, in this little tiny life other than serving you with all joy, with all might, with all strength, with all my heart? The heart made them to be willing, which means they led the heart to be ruled by the king. Only then your heart can make to do something that is acceptable to the king. That is the definition of empty yourself. Let the landlord take back his house. Don't have subtenants in your house. Now your heart has four chambers, right? The Lord says, holy chamber. What you would say, Lord, go to right, turn left. There is a right chamber, you can take it. The rest three chambers, I have my work, my office, my bank account, my health, my beautiful body, my friends, my worldly desires. So you need holy chamber. Thank God, it's not plural. So I can give you one common room. You can stay with me. I will let you stay for free. Holy chamber, one heart. One single heart. Four chambers, four courts. East court, north court, south court, west court. The Lord dealt with his temple, with his chamber in different courts. Amen? Let's study this. Chapter 39, verse 41 to 43, before we go into why the Lord told this. Chapter 39, verse 41 to 43, I shall read. The clothes of service, to do service in the holy place, amen, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest and his son's garments to minister in the priest's office, praise the Lord. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, read this, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, it was not Moses who completed it. It was not Nehemiah who built the wall alone. It was not Moses who fulfilled the works of God. What is the next verse? So the children of Israel made all the work. God told Noah, build the ark in this way. And the scripture says, Noah did so. God told prophet Isaiah, do this, my servant. And Isaiah did so. And God told Moses, do this, my servant. And the children of Israel did so. Children of Israel represented the life of Moses. Because the life of Moses was preserved, reserved, given as a blessing to the children of Israel. He was covering them and they were covering him. It was all for the people of God. I have seen many preachers in the very old time. They embrace motivational speech to encourage, to feel good, to spread positivity. By putting the people of Israel down in the Old Testament, they are unworthy, useless, extremely bad, evil, this and that. But read verse 42, and please understand, the children of Israel are the apple of the eye of the Almighty. The lack of understanding is exactly what we are all fighting against, not the people. Amen? Because the scripture says, according to all that Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel made all the work. Only then, when Aaron offered sacrifices, everything was prepared by the children of Israel. And they can receive forgiveness. They can receive the blessing from the Lord because they have a part to play. They are part of the preparation. You understand? When the wall was built, every man, every woman, they had a role in it. They came and became the builders of the wall. They had a part. When the enemy comes to attack, they could not penetrate. But the one who is saved inside the wall, he can say, I worked for this life, food of life, bread of life, to be upon my table. Amen? Without putting our faith into work, God cannot let us to pass through the land. because he's righteous. It was not just a sacrifice of Aaron and the priest, but the sacrifice, the work that the people of Israel had to do to earn and to receive what the Lord is giving them. It is very important because Jesus said, if you don't work, no food. He said, right? Which work it is? Do all my commandments. Do all I spoke. And you will receive the right to the tree of life. That is the food. The bread of life. Now, so the children of Israel made all the work. And Moses did look upon all the work. Behold, they had done it as the Lord had commanded. Even so, they had done it. And Moses blessed them. This should remind you of a very similar verse. And God saw all he created and he saw good. Amen? Wow, good. And he blessed his creation. And God told Moses, do all of this. And people of Israel did accordingly, just nice, as it is. Until then it is all good. And Moses saw everything. They had done it exactly. And Moses blessed them. Why? Because the Lord put his word in Moses and Moses can bless them. The Lord's blessing is through Moses. The healing of King Abimelech was through the prayer of Abraham. No one can heal him. When the Lord said, Abraham will pray for you and he will heal. If Lord come and say, I'm also the cousin of another relative of Abraham. Can I pray? God would say, step aside. Oh, Sarah, I'm also the wife of Abraham. Can I pray? God would say, step aside. I spoke. I put my word in every one of you. The Lord has put his word in every one of you. There is a work behind your life. The Lord wants to save someone, heal someone, bring someone to the marvelous light. You don't know who it is. That is why the vessel says, I don't know, Lord, but thou knowest me, Lord. You do your work in me, Lord, I will submit. Do you really think Peter believed when he denied Christ 3 times? Let's say I'm a news reporter. Let's say if it's a civilized, very advanced time period like now. If the crucifixion happened, in this time. We go, Peter, we heard that you are a very fervent disciple of Christ. We heard that you denied 3 times. Are you going to baptize 5,000? You would say, are you kidding me? I betrayed my Lord. I betrayed my master. Do I look like a man who can go and baptize 5,000? But Peter had no idea what the Lord had planned for him. That is exactly applicable to you. You have no idea what the Lord can do through your life. Do not limit yourself. Do not limit your mind. It was the father-in-law Jethro told Moses the most important critical advice that has to be given to Moses that brings life to Moses. Moses, appoint 72 elders. Spread your burden or else it will destroy you. If Moses says, I spend time with God on mountain, who are you? He didn't say, he obeyed. God can do his mighty work through anyone. Why? I read the names explicitly. God told Moses, Moses, make the garment. Aaron, his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. That's all right. Was the name of Phinehas mentioned? No. The name of Phinehas was not mentioned, but simply said, son's garment and son's garment. Amen? When that abomination was going on, the zeal of the Lord of hosts took over Phinehas, not Moses. Not Aaron, not Eleazar, not Ithamar. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, amen? He took the spear and he threw the spear. Get it done. Did the Lord accept his work? Yes. He said, today I did not consume Israel because of the zeal of Phinehas. But that is not zeal of Phinehas alone. The zeal of the Lord of hosts took over Phinehas and Phinehas yielded. He was the only vessel at that point of time who yielded for the zeal of the Lord to took over him. Everybody else, they were actually disturbed, distracted by the noise. That is the power of body of Christ. The whole congregation may be distracted, but the Lord can find one single vessel, a small child, can stand up and can prophesy. And the ship can hold its position. Embrace the greatness of God can come through anyone. The little princess, Elizabeth, can pray and the Lord would say, I hear you, my child. The Lord can do anything through anyone, absolutely anything. That open mind that you have tells your life, my God, whom I serve, is great beyond my understanding. I don't know, my Lord, Thou knowest, Lord. That is the reason Aaron has to embrace his mind. Whatever he is called to do. What? Abomination. Okay, bring the ram. Cut it. Or bring the goat. Cut it. Throw the blood. If he is doing all of this in anger, in compulsion, if with a heart of complaining, do you think the Lord would say, oh, what a sweet sound. Aaron, play. No. The heart must be filled with love. Lord, I don't want my family to perish. Lord, I don't want me to perish. Lord, we are all one single family. Bless us, Lord. We will fall and rise. Fall and rise. We will make mistakes and you will teach us. We will do this and that, but you will make us right. That accountability was the true holy garment the priest of God must put on when they come to his chamber. Now read this. Verse 42, right? 42. 43, yes. Moses blessed them. So, Moses blessed them. I want to ask you a question. How important is the blessing of Moses to the people of Israel? Was Moses a prophet? Amen. David a prophet? Amen. Jacob a prophet? Amen. When the scripture says Jacob blessed the 12 sons, do you think, oh, father saying farewell, goodbye? No. If Jacob did not speak the words of life, those are nothing but prophecies from the Almighty. For the Lord to bless the children, for them to be covered, to be shielded, to be surrounded by his promises, for them to go through. The servants of God must bless the children of God. Every single servant of God, before the Lord took them, they blessed them. Amen? They prophesied. And that prophecy blessed the people of Israel to prosper. Joseph said, the Lord will visit you surely. Imagine those people of Israel, the small group, 70 plus. What do you mean the Lord visits surely? We are already in Egypt. We are already in Goshen. Everything is good. Why Joseph is saying this? The Lord will visit you surely. As if we are going to go through a 400 years of slavery. As if the Pharaoh will forget us. Oh yes, that's exactly happened. But Joseph said, the Lord will visit you surely. Wait. Four generations, wait. So, when the vessel is filled with the Spirit of God, the Lord is speaking. Not just speaking, he is saving. Now you understand why he says, I am the only Savior. How? By speaking. Why? Once he spoke, he will hold on to his word. He will fulfill. And who reminds that? The servants of God. Lord, you promised. Lord, you said you won't destroy. Okay. So, how the Lord works and how the close of service come into picture. We just covered an overview. We have not gone into the details from Exodus 27 to 39. Now, I want us to turn your scriptures to Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel. I would not read all the chapters, but as I spoke in the past, whatever the verses that I read from the pulpit, I encourage all the brethren to meditate the chapter. When you meditate a chapter, you will receive more. Amen? So chapter 44 talks about the keepers of the house. And you can see the Lord was keep on talking about the priest on behalf of the children of Israel. He was keep on telling them why he is placing them in that position. Now this chapter in the book of Ezekiel talks about the keepers of the house. So I want to read from verse 17, please. Verse 17 all the way to verse 31.
Verse 17. And it shall be, whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, that they shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court, or within the house. They shall have linen turbans on their heads and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go out to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered and leave them in the holy chamber and put on other garments and in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people. They shall neither shave their heads nor let their hair grow long, but they shall keep their hair well trimmed.
Amen.
No priest shall drink wine when he enters the inner court.
Yes.
They shall not take a wife, a widow, or a divorced woman, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of priests. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the clean, the unclean, and the clean.
Amen.
In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws and my statutes
Amen.
In all my appointed meetings,
Amen.
And they shall hallow my Sabbaths.
Amen.
They shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person, only for father or mother, for son or daughter, for brother or unmarried sister, may they defile themselves.
Amen.
After he is cleansed, they shall count 7 days for him, and on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner courts, says the Lord God.
Amen.
It shall be in regard to their inheritance that I am their inheritance. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. They shall eat grain offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. The best of all first fruit of any kind, of every sacrifice of any kind, from all your sacrifices, shall be the priest. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal, to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast that died naturally, or was torn by wild beasts.
Amen. Amen. Verse 28. God bless you, brother. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. And the Lord says, not any inheritance. Surprise. I am their inheritance. And ye shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. What a powerful statement, what we read from the word of the Lord. The Lord says, I am your inheritance. Do you want anything else? We say, Lord, you are my everything. I am your possession. Do you want to possess anything else? Your own glory, your own wealth, your own desire of the world. And the Lord says, I am your possession. And I want to read one verse from 45 before I go back to Psalm. Chapter 45, verse 4. It's a very beautiful verse, these two chapters, my brethren. Because this prepares the landscape before the book of Ezekiel ends in the next two chapters. Correct? This is towards the closing of the prophet Ezekiel's writings. Verse 4 says, the holy portion of the land shall be for the priest, the ministers of the sanctuary. This shall come near to minister unto the Lord, and it shall be a place for their houses, and an holy place for the sanctuary. This one single verse, it brings together whatever that we were learning for the last 3 weeks. The holy portion of the land. Let's talk about this land. Land of Singapore, land of Japan, land of Norway, land of Nigeria, land of Philippines, land of India, land of Zambia, land of Zimbabwe. We know fivefold ministries in different lands. Every land, the Lord has reserved a holy portion. For what? To expand. And that holy portion, my brethren, it keeps the lamp, the flame, the light to burn continually. So when you see the land, the iniquity of the land does not provoke him to destroy, but rather he sees his holy portion, he sees his saints of God, his vessels, his true ministry, keep the lamp continually burning to tell the Lord, 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 we are here. Your children are here. Your vessels are here. Your spirit is bearing witness with this land. For that reason, O Lord, do not destroy this land. That is exactly what Abraham said. 10 righteous men, would you still destroy? And the Lord says, I won't destroy. Holy portion of the land. Are we the holy portion of this land? Those who are joining overseas, you are the holy portion of the land where you are planted. If not, all earth will be filled with His glory. It's not possible. We are carrying Him in our heart. When we walk, the glory of the Lord is walking if you are filled with His faith in His spirit. And this scripture says, it shall be a place for their houses, not just the land. Houses. That's why apostles, they went to every single house, not selectively. Every single house who opened, heartedly they opened their house with a willing, cheerful heart. They gathered there, broke the bread, studied scripture, prayed, sang songs. Every house was sanctified, consecrated, anointed because of the unity of brethren. And that prayer, my brethren, it was the blood that was applied on every single doorpost. They did not simply gather in a single place. They were moving house to house, breaking bread house to house. Because what you did here shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. Now, I'm going to bring all of this into a chapter which is totally out of all this. Not Ezekiel, not Exodus, not Revelation. A very beautiful chapter that we all love. Before we go, let's remember this. Clothes of service is for Aaron and the ministers who will preach in the priest office of the Lord, in the holy sanctuary of the Lord. Everything the Lord is doing is for His children on behalf of. And we are called to do the service of God in the holy place. Amen? Not near, not outside. In the holy place. I am the holy portion and I am their inheritance, saith the Lord. Whatever that He is doing. And He said, I am their possession. When the servants, they were called to work in the vineyard, irrespective of how long they work, the master gave them one token. And what is the token? For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son for our salvation. What token you want? What else you want? The name of Jesus Christ. Your life is complete today as we speak. Close of service, I am their possession. When you pray, Lord, You are my inheritance. You are my possession. You are my holy portion. My life is complete. In Him, everything is in Him. Because everything that was created in Him. Now turn your scripture, Psalm chapter 91. We all use this chapter as a safe haven when we are children, when we are scared of something. This chapter is like motivational chapter. You feel, Lord, I'm so scared. I want to read Psalm chapter 91. But let's read this in a different way today. Chapter 91. I pray that the Lord reminds you of all that we read in the last 5 weeks, including today, as we read chapter 91. We will read one by one. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's bring all together. Last 4 weeks, amen? People of Israel, they were warned by Moses to go and hide in the house. Not any house. House upon which the doorpost, the blood was applied. Go and hide. Why? It is a secret place. Moses is not going to extend the invitation to all the people in Egypt. He is speaking only to the ears of people of Israel. The Lord, whom the Lord preserved to save them. And they went and hide in the house. God called Noah. Noah, you and your family shall serve me because my son Joshua will speak the same thing. So I won't show partiality. So you and your family go and hide in the ark. Lord, who will build? You will build. But I don't know. I will tell you how to build it. Praise the Lord. Adam and Eve committed sin, feeling naked. Okay, I will put you some coats of skins on your body. I cover you. But the problem is, you can't stay in the Garden of Eden anymore. Your agreement is over. Get out. He threw them out. But did they die? He was still speaking to them. He gave them Seth after Abel was killed. He was still truthful, faithful, merciful to them. He was with them, leading them. And Adam was very focused on his commandment, be fruitful and multiply. And he did not chase for the serpent to kill the serpent. He did not chase to kill Cain. What a beautiful vessel of God. In front of your eyes, you know the one who defiled the bed with Eve, he is somewhere escaped. And the one who killed your son, first son Abel, he is also alive somewhere, but still Adam. He showed all of us his feet were shod with the preparation of gospel of peace And what is the gospel? The word of God that was given to him at that point of time. Now, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When Abraham was sitting near the plains of Mamre, sun was very hot. He saw the two angels and the Lord coming, three, because the scripture says three men. And he invited them not to the tent. Why? Who was inside the tent? Sarah. He invited them, come, rest under the shadow of this terrible tree, mighty oak tree. Rest under the shadow, because it's very hot outside. I will go and prepare everything that you want. He met them under the tree. Word spoken under the tree. As some shadow. And we say, Lord, your name is my strong tower. The shadow of the Lord Almighty. We hide in his strong tower. So, we say, Lord, your righteousness covers our life. Amen? And the cloud, when Jesus transfigured, the cloud appeared on the mountain. It covered all of them. When Moses met God face to face in his presence, the cloud covered all of them. He felt as if he was inside the cloud. Amen? Then the Lord called Aaron, enter in the holy chamber. You can go out without dying. You enter into the most holy place where he dwelleth, the tabernacle where the Shekinah glory of the Lord dwelleth. Remember, when Solomon consecrated the house, the priest could not enter. Remember, the glory of the Lord was so mighty, the priest could not enter. Even Moses could not enter when the Lord descended in the tabernacle. You remember? Now you read this. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Are we inside the holy chamber? It is clearly shown here. God told Aaron, walk in, walk out, but don't die. With the right attitude, cheerful, joyful, heart of willingness, proper clothing that makes beaut sound, sweet aroma, incense, that he can come in and go out. And it says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. True enough, when the killing of the firstborn was going on, people of Israel, were they running from Egyptians or from God? Were they running from Egyptians or from God? They were running from God himself. Correct? When the flood destroyed the whole earth, all the flesh, except the family of Noah, from whom they were running? The ark was saving the children of God. From whom? From God himself. He that giveth, he that taketh. He that maketh, he that breaketh. He that createth, he that destroyeth. Beware of him. He is the only one who can destroy both our body and soul in the fire. No one can do anything to us. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Yes, the wickedness going on. The enemy is roaring like a lion to devour us. The Lord will preserve us from all of these things. But you don't go to the holy chamber because you fear the beast. You don't come inside the holy chamber because you fear sickness. You don't run to the strong tower because you fear death. No, that is not the right fear. You tell all of those things that makes you to feel fear. Tell them, I fear none but him. I hold on to my reverence and honor to the great God Almighty who is in me. He is my everything and greater is he in me than who is in the world. With that assurance, we must enter the holy chamber. Not with fear. Not with trembling. Oh Lord, this Pharaoh and the armies, they are chasing me. I am walking in this dry land where the Red Sea is divided. I will walk with fear. I will walk with weeping. No! You sing songs of the victory that is given to you from the Lord. And you march forward with assurance. Not with weeping, groaning, moaning. It doesn't profit. Amen? That is the sound God told Aaron. Are you walking? I'm not going to see you. I will hear your sound. What sound? Complaining, weary, grumpy, confusion, unfaithfulness. He can hear everything. He can listen everything. So, when the scripture says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Do you think it is possible outside the holy chamber? inside. God's promises are fulfilled inside. Here. Deep. Here. Because scripture says those who are wise hearted, they were able to do what God wanted them to do. Wise hearted. Not those people who followed wise men. Not those people who followed wise apostles. No. God is not in your following. God is in your yielding. In your receiving. In your believing. In your doing. He said signboards. Signboards may become your golden calf. If we are a bit careless. Amen. Turn right is pointing to the truth. That signboard is not the truth. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flyeth by the day. Aaron and the priests of God, they were told to keep the flame from when to when, my brother? From evening to morning. Amen? God of Israel, who keepeth Israel, neither sleep nor slumber. We sleep. When you sleep, who protects you? Your insurance? Your landlord? Your four walls of the room? If the Lord does not protect you, you won't get up in the morning. I have seen three members in the family who slept, never get up. Beautiful way of passing. Even more so, when we saw them, my grandfather, he was a smiley face. Wow, Lord, can I say, Lord, can I get the same? The Lord would say, are you the creator? My grandfather, my father's father, he had a TV remote in his hand. When they opened the door, he was a smiley face. The Lord took him. But can we say, Lord, I desire such a painful death? No. You desire the death of the saint. Whatever the means of it, praise the Lord. You want to die as a saint of God. Not as a man who died without pain. That is not your testimony. Amen? Give me a few minutes. Nor the arrow that flyeth by the day. True enough. Because Hezekiah told us, when Sennacherib became the great mighty army, Rabshakeh means the chief captain, right? Rabshakeh is a position. He represents the army that he's leading. The chief captain of the army. They were trying to release all the arrows. But the scripture says, none landed inside the city. Not one. Because the Lord said, not even one arrow will land in the city. That's exactly what David is singing. And now we read, thou shall not be afraid. Don't deny. We are all scared of something in our life. Sometimes you don't fear anything. You say, child of God, I fear none but God himself. But sometimes, your flesh tells you, hello, you are still breathing. Let's fear together. Let's be scared of something together. What if tomorrow? What if next month? Uncertainty is a source of fear. Do you know that? Uncertainty is the origin of all fear. Uncertain. Assurance is the destroyer of uncertainty. Can I say I can do all things just by myself? No. I need you. You need her. You need him. We need one another. We hold together. When everybody feels weak, someone will come and sing a song. We all feel strong. We need that someone. That someone can be anyone. Because God can work through anyone. And look at this, verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why not left hand, my brethren? Why right hand? What is right hand represent in scripture? Our Savior glorified Jesus Christ. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? Right hand that holdeth everything. And it shall not come nigh to thee. The way of holiness is not open for beast or wickedness or sickness or unfaithfulness or flesh. It is preserved, sealed for the children of God. Nothing can come in between. But do we really believe that? Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Habitation? What is habitation? The habitation of the Lord. Let's say Garden of Eden. Everything God created. His goodness, His blessedness, His beauty of holiness is shining brighter. We say, habitation of the Lord. If there is sin, the habitation of the Lord is challenged by some darkness. The darkness wants to expand the territory and the righteousness of God fighting the battle. Amen? Don't you see, we are all part of the Lord's battle of righteousness from Garden of Eden until He takes us home. Amen? Now, habitation of the Lord. The Lord says, I am the possession. I am the holy portion. And I am their inheritance. The glory of the Lord dwells in the midst of His children and the wall of fire round about. Amen? We are the Lord's inhabitation. Only then, the scripture can be fulfilled. The glory of the Lord fills the earth. Because He will destroy all the wickedness. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee. Angels charge over thee. What Aaron was given. What Moses was given. What Prophet Samuel was given. What Apostle Paul was given. What Apostle Peter was given. What David the king was given. What the Lord did with all those servants. Didn't they have some charge given by the Lord to do certain things? So that the Lord won't destroy the children of Israel. Exercising the power that was given by the Lord has only one reason. For the Lord to fulfill His promises in His children whom He loves. Not hates. Not want, not waiting to take revenge. Amen? That is exactly what Prophet Jonah is teaching all of us. He tried to exercise the power to show the Lord how righteous the Lord is. But he forgot the Lord is full of compassion. He forgot the Lord was wanting him to plead for with the forgiveness for the people of Nineveh. Always remember, God is light, God is love. He is not always angry. Whenever He is angry, He is going to circumcise for the good of His children. You know, when you read the scripture, everything works together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. I want you all to remember this. He is my everything. Amen? He is your everything. Now, read the scripture. He works together for good for those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose. He is your everything. Not what is happening in your life. It doesn't matter. Can I say, oh Lord, I lost a job. Now it's a blessing to me. Everything works together. What is this thing? This thing has no life. It was Him, the true life, who made you to go down and come up. That word, my brethren, everything, remember Him. Don't remember your life. He is your life. Everything works together. He is doing all things that He can for your good. For the good of His children. On behalf of the children of Israel. Amen? And they shall bear, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Because the book of Jeremiah said, Lord, I know. This man, I cannot direct my ways. Oh yeah, I know. I will send some vessels filled with my spirit, prophets or kings or anyone or the angels to watch over you. So that I can direct thy path. His word is a lamp unto our feet. We walk by faith. Thou, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Which stone? There is only one stumbling stone which no one can overcome. Himself. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the rock, solid rock from where the water came. And He is also the stumbling stone. Everybody will hit and die if they go against Him. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Under feet. Lord, my feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace. You overcome evil by good. Do not overcome evil by evil. Overcome evil by what? By good. Who is good? God is good. Keep His commandments. No evil can overcome you. Because He hath set His love upon me. See? You can never take His love out of anything that He does. Clothes of service will be called clothes of filthiness if there is no love among us, between us. He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He hath known my name. Do you know His name? Last Sunday, the whole sermon was on, know ye not? Know ye not? Knowing His name is putting on Christ. Amen? not everyone can have his name. His name is on our forehead. The blood that is applied on the doorpost, on our forehead, our name, his name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What God told to Jeremiah? Is it chapter 33? What the Lord said? Jeremiah, Lord, you call unto me, okay? Pray unto me, okay? I will answer thee, okay? I will show you great and mighty things, okay? Thou knowest not. If you think there are uncertainty in your life, I'm telling you, thou knowest not the great things God will do in your life tomorrow. Believe, wait. Believe, wait. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. What is long life? 80 years old? 90 years old? 120 years old? To go to the land of Japan? There are many people who live longer there. But there is one more land where people live longer than anyone. The promised land. The only life that can last long that no man can count. The everlasting life. The true life. That is our target. Amen? I understand. When we start our life, we hold on to things of vanity. Lord, I'm sick. Don't let me die. Lord, I want to be delivered. Fine. But when you go higher and higher, when the Lord helps us to press on higher and higher, the scripture reveals things to us in a different way. He wants us to desire for the highest mark of Christ. What do you desire? Can I say, Lord, I want to live 100 years. What does it profit me? 6,024 years are gone. My life is a dot in the lifetime of human being. What the dot represents? Nothing. Long life. Will I satisfy him? Satisfy my soul, Lord. When Jesus said to the woman, can you give me water? If that woman is thirsty, there is only one water can satisfy her soul. Himself. The Lord says, drink me. I can satisfy your soul. It is well with our soul. And show him my salvation. Now you say, Lord says, I will show you my salvation. He is our salvation. If you want to see his face, enter into the holy chamber. If you want to enter the holy chamber, we must learn from Aaron and his sons. We cannot say, I am the group, the children of Israel. We will just prepare olive oil. That is Old Testament. Remember the wise virgins? They must keep the lamp for the light to burn continually. All five must do. Not four, not three. All five. May the Lord bless us. I want to finish my sharing with a short testimony, which I wanted to share. The Lord reminds me today. I was thinking to share next week. 2014, I came to Singapore. Sorry, 2010, I came to Singapore for my higher studies. 2014, I got married. But in 2010, when I came to Singapore to study, the Lord introduced me to his ministry within 3 months by his vessel, Brother Gregory Choi. I met him. He's a wonderful child of God. He blessed me to meet Brother Gan and the church. You know, that is how my journey started here. But before that, when I started studying my master's degree, I missed my graduation ceremony. I finished undergraduate in India, in one of the best universities. But when the graduation happened, I was in Singapore preparing for my exams. I couldn't travel. And I was also staying in my uncle's home. I did not want to trouble him that I want to travel this and that. So I skipped my graduation. So after I finished my exam, I had to go to India to get my transcript. Because I must bring it to submit to the university as a proof that, you know, I have got my graduate certificate. So I went to Chennai airport and I reached midnight. So I called my friend, a good friend of mine, who was my primary school friend, you know, like primary to secondary. We don't talk much, but if I call him, he'll be there. Same for me. If he calls me, I'll be there. But not, you know, just good morning, good evening, I love you. No, not those, you know, dramatic words. Nothing. I called him after 4 years, actually. I called him, I'm coming. He said, I'll be at the airport. Okay, I meet him. I met him, took me to his house. I stayed in his place. Because I had to take the bus next day morning, about 1 hour travel from his place to my university in the city of, you know, Chennai, south part of India. So he told me he has to go to office in the morning. So at 5 a.m. around there, we left his house. He dropped me at the bus station for me to board the bus. He waited until I board the bus. Then he waved his hand. Then he took his bike and he went to his office. He had to go early because of me. So I was sitting inside the bus, thinking about, you know, because after this I had to go back to my home. After getting my certificate, I had to travel 600 kilometers to meet my parents. So that was the first visit from me after I came to Singapore, 6 months of semester, returned to India for the first time, you know, to go and take my certificate and go back to my home. So I was sitting in the bus was fully crowded, so I was sitting in the bus, well dressed, you know, like, because I'm going to meet my college, HOD, professors, after a long time, they were also looking forward to meet me. So I also missed to receive some awards in the graduation ceremony, so they had to give me, you know, in person. So I was actually thinking about my college friend that I missed all the graduation ceremony, you know, all those, what do you call, the garment of graduation, I missed all of those. So I was thinking about it, then I was just checking my phone, sending message to my mother, no? And my mother, whenever I travel, she won't sleep. She'll be always checking where I am, whether I sleep or not, no? Because, you know, that's mother's love, you know, you can't get anything better of it. So she was awake and she was asking me, where are you? I told her I board the bus. What happened, the bus left the place, 2 or 3 stops, I could not buy the ticket. Because of a lot of people, you know, crowded, people were standing. So I was waving my hands to the, you know, to the, you know, we call it as ticket man, you know, or yeah, the conductor, right? Who will help you to, you know, get a ticket, right? So I was finding his, because everybody were clothing different dress, right? I was trying to identify him, you know, by his garment, correct? So I was trying to single out him. Then I tried to reach out to many people to reach out, because he was in the front, I was in the back, I was in the last seat. So I told him I want to buy ticket. He told me, wait, I will come. I told him 2 times. He said, wait, I'll come. Don't worry, I'll come. So I was, you know, in the back of the seat. 3 bus stops passed. 4th bus stop, the bus was stopped at some corner. I didn't know what was going on. The traffic police, they entered the bus to check who were traveling without a ticket. Okay, I had a very nice bag, because I'm coming from airport, right? A huge bag, well-dressed, because I'm going to meet my HOD, like a professional, as if I'm going for a job kind of, you know, apparel. I was using a very good phone in my hand. And suddenly someone hold my shirt and, you know, like, what do you call, lifted me. You know, you will get the anger, right? You are actually, I didn't sleep well, I was so tired. Then I was like, who is, you know, doing this thing to me? I was very angry. And when I looked at him, right, a drunk person, I could smell the alcohol. I saw his shirt, a very simple color shirt. And I just told him, behave, you know, properly. You know, and he was scolding me with vulgar words. You know, are you cheating? You can't even afford a ticket. You know, you cheater. You know, he was using some very vulgar word and speaking bad about my parents. Because I was chatting with my mother, he was scolding me by insulting my mother in some very bad word. So suddenly I got very angry. I just, you know, like, I was, you know, playing football for the university team. I used to go to this and that. Was very strong at that time. I was so angry, I just pushed him, you know, with my anger. Didn't attack him, because he was actually pulling me with my shirt. A very, you know, like, insulting man. Everybody were watching me. I just pushed him. He was unstable because he was drunk. He just went backward and hit the post, you know, on the, not in a very harsh manner, but, you know, he just lost his balance and went and hit the metal post behind him. Then I saw he was wearing police pant and police shoe. Then, you know, for a moment, right, I was like, because I didn't know that he was a police. He was with a color shirt, but with a police pant and police, you know. Then all those who were in the bus, right, they looked at me as if I'm a sacrificial lamb. I'm done. And he was so angry, and he actually literally pulled me from the bus, and I told him, sir, forgive me, I don't know what happened, you insulted me with very long, very bad words. Please listen to me. I told the conductor that I will take the ticket, you can ask him. Everyone in the bus, they were telling, yes, you know, this man, he informed the conductor, and the driver was pleading for me, the conductor was pleading for me, the people in the bus, they were all supporting me, and this police, he was completely drunk, he was shouting everyone, you know, like in a very disrespectful manner, because police is so powerful in our place, they are even more dangerous than gangsters, you know. So the conductor, you know, he told me, don't do anything, don't say anything, let him speak, I'm so sorry, I can't help you. Then the bus was standing there 15 minutes. I didn't wrestle him because I know that I can't do anything because he's a police officer. So he just dragged me. and there is a big vehicle stop on the side of the road. It's like a moving prison with metal gates all around, with a gate key, everything. You can't see. People outside can't see inside, but I can see from inside with a glass, some special coating, right? It will look like a black color box. If you go inside, nobody can see that you're inside, but I can see everyone outside. It's also soundproof. And this guy, he pulled me, and he actually pushed me to the room because he felt insulted that I pushed him, and he lost his balance and hit the post. And he felt, you know, that he felt that touched his ego, kind of. So I could see the driver, the conductor, everybody, you know, asking the police officer to, you know, it's a misunderstanding that he didn't do anything, to release me. But this police officer, he was scolding everyone and tell them to go. And I was seeing the bus is leaving. The bus left. Around 6 a.m., I was put inside that vehicle. Okay? So the driver's seat and the place where I'm sitting, it's like a prison, okay? It's a van. I could see that he came inside the door. He said, "How dare you? You touch my shirt. How dare you? I'm 48 years old. No one even dared to speak against me. And you pushed me in front of all the public. And, you know, you insulted me." He was scolding me in bad words. He said, "I will destroy your life. I will file a FIR. It's called First Incident Report. If there is an FIR, I can't come to Singapore. I can't register, you know, my subsequent, you know, my semester and all. I will be like a, you know, criminal." I told him, "But sir, I'm a student. I'm studying. Don't destroy my life." I was trying to stick to him, but he was not in a state of listening. Scolding, accusing. Then he closed the door and he left. From 6:30 a.m. around there until 8:30, I was inside the door. I can't pass urine. I can't go. I was thirsty. Can't do anything. I was literally suffocating inside the door, inside the room. No aircon. He turned off the vehicle. I was sweating. You understand? 2 hours. I know what he did. He took my phone and he left. Can't contact anyone. I felt powerless. My uncle is a powerful lawyer. Can't reach out to him. My father is school principal. Can't reach out to him. I have so many friends in that city because I studied there. Many people I know, influential. Can't reach out to anyone because I have no way to communicate them. I felt like a dead meat, you know, inside that prison or what you call van. I was knocking the door. No, nobody dared to come near to the door. Because to the normal public, right, some murderer is inside or some pickpocket is inside. Let him rot, you know, in that prison. If I shake, right, he will come and scold me. So he left to have breakfast. 2 hours I was alone. Then the van driver, he came. He looked at me. "Who are you?" I said, I told him what happened. I told him all my, you know, my transcript, my e-copy, everything. I said, "It's a bad day that you came and, you know, ended up in this guy's hand. He's one of the worst officers in our department. A womanizer. He's worse than, you know, like rowdies or gangsters. He is full of bribery and corruption. You know, you came and fell in his trap. Why did you push him?" I told him, "I didn't push him. He was actually handling me in a very bad way. And just because he spoke very bad about my mother, I got triggered. So I just pushed him. Don't say that. No? Because I was telling my mother." So he told me he can't help. So I told him, "Can you please tell him what he wants? I will give whatever I have. Just let me go. I have to go and, you know, get my certificate." So this police officer came. He said, "I'm going to file a case against you. And the case is, attacked the government officer in front of public." I said, "No, I did not attack you. I did not know that you are a police officer. No, you did not put on your right garment. No, it's just normal clothing." I said, normal public. He said, "No, that's what I do. I deceive people that I'm not a police so that I can find who don't take tickets." I said, I became a scapegoat, correct? So he said, "Give me 6,000 rupees, you know, money." And he said he will let me go. I checked my pocket. I didn't convert my Singapore dollars into Indian rupees. I told him, "Let me call my friend. He will bring cash for you." Then he gave me he called my friend from my phone. He let me speak from the loudspeaker. My friend was in office. He took his bike, went to the ATM, took the money. Not 6,000. He took 10,000, I think. He knows the police officer better than me. So he came, and the police officer, he took all the money from him. And he said he was keep the phone with him. So I bargained for the phone. Then I took the phone. Then I told him, "Can you give me a receipt that you took this penalty from me?" He said, "I can file an FIR for you, but not a report." Then I told him, "My uncle is also a lawyer. So, you know, I can approach him to make this thing properly sorted out, because I don't want him to file a case against me after I leave. If not, I can't come to Singapore. You understand, right? Just because of, you know, a lack of understanding, misunderstanding, and can't identify him properly, I fell in the trap. If I could see him as a police officer, I would have not changed the way of, you know, handling him. But the good news is, I didn't say anything wrong to him. So after he released me from that moving prison, I took the bus, I went to the university. That was one of the longest travel I had. Just 1 hour, you know. It felt like 3 or 4 hours. Because I just like, what just happened? You know, in just a fraction of a second, right, everything was changed. As if, you know, my life changed upside down. So, when the Lord teach all of us that He appointed people in our life, situations in our life, to preserve us, to protect us, to cover us, to shield us, to deliver us, to release us from this and that, if we are not grateful, we may think, see the way I managed it. You see my uncle, the way he helped me. You see the way the doctor performed surgery on me. What a wonderful doctor he is. You look at my food diet. Because of my food diet, now I am healthy. A thin line, my brethren, you would miss the point. You would miss the point completely. You may think someone, something that delivered you. But the Lord who is behind all of this, He would grieve in His spirit if the children cannot recognize His work in our life. That doesn't mean that we also disrespect those who are a blessing to us. We have to understand, the Lord is in His children and we are in Him. May the Lord bless us to understand, do we have the proper clothing or are we misusing of what the Lord has blessed with? Amen. I just want to share this testimony, like how the Lord delivered me. It could have been different. No? Thank the Lord for all things. Amen. God bless you all. Let's pray as I close. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for the servant that you sent in our life, who had the right beautiful clothing, the holy garments that proclaimed your glory and beauty, like what Aaron did, what Moses did, what all the 7 church messengers did, what all the apostles did, and even the true servants of God that we witness in our life. Lord, we bless your holy name. Because, Lord, you bless all of us through them. You wash all of us through them. You taught all of us through them. You edified, encouraged, chastened, rebuked, and pruned and purged. And Lord, you taught all of us, Lord, in various ways of how you work so beautifully, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the priests, all the saints, all the servants that you blessed us with in our life. Lord, we are grateful. May you teach us, Lord, not to forget your benefits. And Lord, help us, Lord. It is our turn that we should step up to have the clothes of service with joy. The Spirit can do anything through anyone. Lord, may you bless us, Lord, to not to limit the greatness of God in our life, but to be open for the zeal of the Lord of hosts to take over us. Help us, Lord, to enter the holy chamber, to do the service of God on behalf of the land where we are planted, on behalf of our loved ones, of our family, of those who stayed in the church, of those who are new to the church, of those who will be part of the church, of those who are hurt and left the church because of us, Lord. Because of us, Lord. It is our fault, Lord. We ask for their forgiveness, Lord. May you forgive all of us, Lord. Let there be repentance. Let there be joy. Let there be the renewal of a new season, Lord, where we see the builders of the wall return to the home. And Lord, together, O Lord, we will knit the nets, O Lord. And we will prepare the clothing. And we will witness the greatness of God in the land, wherever we are planted, Lord. The restoration of ship must be completed before the sail starts flowing, O Lord, because of the winds, before the ship starts moving, Lord. May you bless us, Lord, to complete the restoration of your ship, your boat, for the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord. Amen.